Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Once again, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone here into the Clay County Corner, where we come to you live and in living color, even though we're a few minutes late this morning. Had a little delay, but everything's up and ready to go here. And as we come to you live and living color on your radio dial here each Thursday morning at 9 a.m. or sometimes nearby that time. But it's great to be here this morning. We're proud to be able to bring this program to you through the auspices of the Clay County Chamber, three-star committee, and all the great folks that help us to get this show together. And got special guests. Mayor Reagan should be up here in just a few minutes to discuss some of the things going on here with the county government in and around the historic old Clay County Courthouse. And we've got a few things to talk about that are going on. And of course, we want to thank all the folks that sponsor on the radio show here each Thursday morning. Remind everyone that we do have a birthday prize that we give away each Thursday morning. And if you'll give us a call to 931-243-5574 and get your name on that list, and you'll get a chance to earn a great prize for the day. Let's see, we've got some things going on here. Today is the nearly the end of school. I think school officially ends tomorrow here in Clay County, and we'll talk a little bit about that here in a few minutes. But right now, we will just go back and get in a couple of more words from our sponsors and be back just in a few minutes.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including traditional and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Like I said, it's great to be here this morning, and it's a pleasure being able to do this this radio show here, where we do try to keep folks updated on a few things going on. I know we've got a couple, three good shows lined up here in the next few weeks, and we'll be getting to that. And let's see, we have we're right at the end of the school. We'll be having our graduation tomorrow night over at the Clay County High School gym, and I believe we are graduating the largest class in history, I believe. So we've got that coming up. I think there's 90 students in, which is, I think, of course, the most in the history of a single high school here in Clay County. And I think, let's see, we've been playing the girls, our young ladies' softball, and I think they have qualified for the regional tournament next week. We'll give you a little update on that. And I know we have got quite a few things to talk about. Mayor Reagan is here with me this morning. And another thing, of course, during the show today, we'll be giving away one of our birthday prizes. And want to remind everyone that, you know, to call 931-243-5574 on that. And let's see, I don't know, Mayor Reagan, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm as good as something better than most.
That's
you,
exactly,
sir?
Exactly. Thank you so much for letting me come up and be with you today.
Okay, like I said, we've got, this first time you and I have been on here in a couple, 3 months, I think. Last time up, Kevin was here.
Yeah.
And so I think I called you the next week because I forgot it. Tried to get you to come back 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, yeah, I was surprised because, I mean, usually you, I am, me and Thomas have this joke going on that goes back to the Andy Griffin show whenever Andy was having to go out of town and he didn't have nobody to oversee the courthouse and the jail and everything. And Goober kept telling him, let him do it. He didn't really want to let him do it, but he told him, he said, I'll do it, Andy. Ain't I better than nothing? I am better than nothing, ain't I? And so that's what you see, what I always think. When Thomas gives me a call, I'm better than nothing, I guess. So, but no, I do appreciate it. And
we'll put you at least a couple of rungs up from that, okay?
Okay, thank you. But it's a great honor for me to get to be here.
I see you've got you some notes with you this morning.
We have, and we got some stuff that we'll share with the citizens out there. We had our county commission meeting last, not this past Monday night, but the Monday night before last and everything.
Okay. You want to just, we'll just jump into that today before we wander off
sure.
some places.
Sure, and we're getting into budget time, and we're compiling all the department's budgets together. Donna's been working hard on that and getting everything ready for our first budget meeting, which is going to be the 22nd of this month. And we've had to move our planning meeting. It's usually the last Monday night of every month. But this month, guess what? We got a holiday. Memorial Day is coming up on the last Monday of the month, so that the commissioners have moved it up a week to the 22nd. And immediately following the planning, the budget committee will go into session to start looking over all the department's budgets and stuff. And they usually start out with a lot of the elected officials' offices and a lot of the smaller budgets and stuff that where they don't change a whole lot. There's things that, because of maintenance of effort and stuff, you know, it automatically changes whenever we have, contracts that we have with, whether it be with printing companies and stuff like that, you know, that they may go up a little bit sometimes every year, but basically everything stays about the same. Other than your elected official's salary is automatic. There's nothing. And that's one of the things and Thomas, you've heard me grapple on this a lot, that I think that that's something that, you know, that it shouldn't be. It should be left up to the local government to make those decisions. But on your elected official salaries, they are mandated, and it's an unfunded mandate that gets
yeah.
passed on to your local government, and you have to abide by those. And anytime the state implements a raise the next year after that, it's passed down to the local level elected officials.
Well, you know, throwing just a thing in there, anytime anyone gets a unearned increase in pay, that doesn't increase. I'm sure it doesn't happen with elected officials, but on just a normal job, if you know you're going to get a 50-cent raise every 2 weeks, no matter what you do, sometimes you really don't do a whole lot to earn that, do you?
There's not a lot of incentive there to
right.
make you do that. And I mean, and I'm not saying, you know, that's the case with this. My argument with it is, and I've talked to the legislators about it and everything, is, okay, these offices, and we'll just take my office, for example, the county mayor, it is it's a four-year term. And if the Lord blesses you and you're able to finish that term out, you should, whatever that salary was set at when you first come into office, you knew exactly. I mean, if you didn't, you was kind of silly not to find out
yeah.
how much it was going to be paying. But you knew exactly what you were going to be getting when you came into that. And you knew it was going to be, like I said, if you were blessed to finish out the term. It's for a four-year term. You shouldn't expect anything more than that every year. It should be the same. So I told them, I said, well, the way that I feel about it is if you're going to do that, if that's going to increase, do it whenever the administration's in change. In other words, at the end of that 4 years, when you start that next, whether it be that same elected official comes back into office, if he's blessed to do that or her, then that it will increase. But don't do it every year like that, because it affects the budget process. Plus, you have to come up with that money to do that. And I mean, it's an unfunded mandate that is passed down from the state to the local level and everything. And
I do know on the national level, our national representatives cannot give themselves a raise. They can give the next group that comes in a raise, and of course they hope they're in that group. And I think our state legislature is the same way.
Right.
That our elected representatives on that level cannot actually give themselves a raise while they're in office.
And that being said, going back to the budget that we were talking about, for most of your elected officials' budgets, pretty much stays the same. We try to give a 2% raise to all the employees. Every year we try to, we tell them to factor that in there. If we're able to do more, the commissioners and the budget committee will look at that, and if they're able to do more, they'll do their best to do that and everything. But it's an automatic that when you're working on your budget, all your employees that works in your offices, they factor in a 2% increase in that. So that's one of the things that, you know, that I feel like is a must that we need to make sure that. And I know 2% ain't that much, but I mean, at least it helps, and it's getting started. And we did this past year, and I appreciate the commissioners for doing this. I think it's every 3, maybe 5 years. I'm not really for sure about that. I stand to be corrected on that, but longevity pay, and so they're doing that for employees that have been a year or over. They give a 3%. Longevity increase on top of the 2%. So, but they don't do that every year. That's either 3 years or 5 years, and I should know that, but I can't remember. But I know this past year we did that. So if you've been there, if you're making $10 an hour and you've been there, depending on how many years you get, if you've been there 10 years, it would factor in, you know, you get that 3% per year that you've been there and everything. So,
okay, and you know, all of our county officials, that they do have a set wage that they're going to earn. All right, now is that do some counties actually pay their elected officials more than that, or do they all basically just follow? That you know of?
Well, basically, they all, that I know of, they pretty much follow what the state rate is. And that affects, or that's determined by the population. And Clay County, Pickett County, Jackson, some of those counties, that their population falls within it, whatever that criteria is. We're all based on that same amount. Now, that being said, the county commission can't decrease that.
Right.
They can't increase it. If they want to give that, you know, elected official more money, they have the power to do that and everything. But I don't know of a case where that's ever happened or anything, because once you give it, you can't take it away.
Right. And it remains that for the next session.
Well, my argument is with the legislators, and I understand, you know, it's a hard battle to fight, because, you know, you got your larger counties and stuff, and they like that theory of, you know, when the state gives a raise, you automatically give, and it's like a 5%, and I think it's a 5%. But anyway, my argument is, where does it stop?
Right.
Okay? There's got to be a cap somewhere, because you can't just, if they keep doing this, especially for counties such as our size, you're going to have to start raising taxes and just to meet the payment,
right,
the payroll for your elected officials. And that's got to be capped off somewhere or another.
Okay, and then like a sheriff's salary, that is set by the state legislature.
Yes.
Of course, I don't think that's the same system was when all those were set up, because best I remember from my Tennessee history was that the sheriff of the county was supposed to be the highest paid official in the county.
Yeah.
To supposedly protect him from any type of negotiating with anyone.
Yeah.
His office, it was kind of, really and truly, I guess that sheriff's office was probably the highest office in counties back in those days.
Yeah, and it's now the second. My office being the highest, and your General Sessions judge is right up there too. But that they get the General Sessions judge salary is based on a lot of different things, you know, depending on the, because he does a lot of different courts and stuff. So
yeah.
I mean, it's based on different avenues of things, but. Your county exec, your county mayor, and then you got your sheriff and the highway superintendent are the same. And then it drops down to the rest of your trustee, and then your trustee his salary is set, but he also gets off of fees.
Right.
That take care of his office personnel and everything.
Yeah.
So, and then you got your the clerks of the court. We got our county court clerk,
right,
which is Donna, and she takes care of, a lot of things. She takes care of all your licensures and stuff like that. But she is the clerk for the county commission.
Right.
She has to take down at all the county commission meetings when the county commissioners meets to ratify anything,
right,
or vote on any kind of resolutions or whatever, she has to be there or have a representative from her office to be there to record all those meetings and stuff, and they go into a record book to where that if you want to any time come and see what happened at the county commission, you have the right to do that and everything. Now, they passed a piece of legislation, and we got a we're working on this right now because we don't have a website in the county mayor's office. We've never had one.
Right.
We may be fixing to have to look at doing something like that, because we make everything, you know, as far as the county commission meetings is public. And so they passed the resolution that we're to 48 hours to make it where it could be public to the public. And they have access to that. Okay, so they could go and they can call the office anytime and before the meeting and stuff. And if they need a copy of what the commissioner's going to be voting on or what their agenda is,
right,
we can get them a copy of that and everything. We run it in the paper that we are having meetings, but we don't put in the paper what the actual resolution and what they'll be voting on is.
Right.
Now they've changed that to where that we've got to put, you know, what that resolution, the agenda is going to be, what's going to be taken into consideration and everything. So we've got to work on that and everything to get that to where it to be better. You know, I talked to the county attorney and I said, well, where my office is always, you know, we're open and anybody wants to come get a copy of what we're going to be voting on can do that and everything. And he said, well, the way that states is they've got to have an access to it anytime, 48 hours prior to us having our meeting. So I don't know anything much about websites and stuff, so we're going to be working on that. We may be even hollering at you, Thomas. There.
Another thing along that line let's take a little short break, come back.
Sure.
Something else I want to talk to you about along those lines of the offices. We'll be right back.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. Mayor, there's another thing I know that I guess folks might like to hear a little bit about, and that is there a set budget for each county elected official, a maximum amount, whatever, where they have to have office help? They're folks that help them in the office. Is there an amount of budget, maximum amount, minimum amount? How about that, you know, setting up an office of an elected official?
Yeah, there's not a, in other words, there's not a maximum or minimum as far as that goes. You set your budget up based on what you think you're, to the best of your ability to, you know, to operate that office and everything, and what it's going to cost you to do that. And so that could be every year. It can, and it will most of the time, when you factor in, like I said a moment ago, you know, we do the 2% raise and stuff, so that budget's going to go up a little bit there in line items of salaries and stuff, and then your supplies and stuff like that, and
yeah,
everything, and travel and everything. And I there's a certain amount in there in my office in my budget for travel, and I use very little of that, but I mean, it's still, because I feel like, you know, when I took this job, travel was part of it, you know, as far as that goes. And but anyway, that money is, we've always set that money aside there just in case, you know, something comes up out of the ordinary that I have to do. And but each office has certain things that they can't do a whole lot about, because it's just like I said, it's contracts with, you know, with whether it be with their printers, their copiers, stuff
right,
like that. Because you can't just go to Walmart and buy a little copier. If we did, we'd be going every week and buying them. So we have contracts with these companies that come out and they set up, and basically all the offices down there, mine and, I'd say the majority of all of them, we all have the same company and the same copiers and stuff, so that we can, you know, if something happens to one, we can run down the hall.
Okay, so do you own them, or are they like a lease type thing?
It's lease.
Okay, that's
lease
what I thought.
Lease to own. In other words, but when it comes time to own them, they're pretty much, you know,
ready to
obsolete,
right,
and so they bring in a new one and
right,
everything. So they will furnish the toners and all that
right,
goes along with that and everything. So, and if you, most of the offices that we use are used to, on a daily basis,
right,
pretty regular. And
right,
I mean, we make copies a lot of times for a lot of the events and stuff that are taking place across the county. I mean, our fire events and stuff like that. I know that when the pageant, you know, our fire's coming up here less than a month, I guess.
Right.
And so the application sheets and stuff like that has to be done. And we just, you know, we do it there at our office. And I know that most of the other offices, if you want to come in and have something to make a copy or something, you know, we accommodate you on that.
Okay, let me ask you, is there any type of regulation that requires each office have, say, at least one secretary or something? Or I think that's something that I've heard for, you know, that each office had to have.
Well, now speaking for myself in my office, I know that there's nothing I've got to have, you know.
Right.
I'm pretty limited. We got two. I've got Carol and I've got Donna. And Donna is the finance clerk.
Right.
Plus accounts payable.
Right.
Insurance. Plus payroll. I mean, and through the ARP funding and stuff, she took on another part of that. So she wears a lot of hats. And then, of course, then Carol, she is administrative assistant in there. She takes every, just like our agendas, our stuff for county court. Like we was talking about a moment ago, you know, we've got to try to get a website
right.
fixed up and all that. That will be her, you know, her chore to take on and everything. And plus, she does billing for Solid Waste Department. The Solid Waste Department, they're not a fee office, so therefore they can't accept money down there. So our office, Carol is the one that does all the Solid Waste Department, you know, billing outs and stuff like that and everything. They send her the truck sheets in whenever they go out and they do their routes and stuff like that. They get the truck sheets in and then, she takes them and she's the one that does all that. Plus, there's just a whole lot of things that goes on. I mean, she keeps all the filing systems up to date. And grants, Donna works with all the departments on their grants. And Carol helps keep the filing on those grants and stuff. And Thomas, you know as well as I do, every time we turn around, there's grants.
Right.
Everybody.
Thank goodness.
Everybody, yeah, absolutely. But everybody that's doing, getting grants, 99.9% every time will touch the county mayor's office, one way or the other. You know that.
Right.
You know, you got to come in, and it flows through the county mayor's office. So Donna and them's the one that's keeping up with all that and everything and seeing, because most of your grants are reimbursable grants. You got to make sure that money is in your budget. You know, if you're doing some grant, you get grants up here for the historical courthouse and on different things. And a lot of those are reimbursable grants. In other
right.
words, you got to have that money in there
right.
to start with. And then once you complete that project, we send in the invoice. Or if the development district is administering it for us, they will send that invoice in. And then the state sees it and says, okay, yeah, you all got this done. So now we're going to cut a check back to Clay County to pay you all back because you're paid for that. So it's just a big process and everything. But back to you, I know that's a long way around trying to answer the question you asked, if every office has a set, you know, whether it be how many employees.
Yeah. Requirement of anything.
And yes and no. I mean, you know, it's left up to the department head to pretty much run their own office. I can't tell the county clerk what to do in her office. I work with them. And that's the same way with the sheriff's department, highway department, or any of the others and everything. So.
Well, can't get this thing to turn off. I don't, why these people try to call me at these times?
Maybe it's a fan. Maybe
well,
it's
that,
one of your
fans. Well, that could have been Publishers Clearinghouse, too.
It could have been. Yeah, you may have hit the big
but,
time.
You know, kind of for so many, many years, our elected officials here that worked here, they would really maybe not even have an official secretary or anything hired. Usually maybe... I know, of course, that back in the day when the wife or the husband became an assistant in the office, it was kind of an unpaid assistant and that type of thing. Of course, now, you know, that doesn't happen anymore.
That's not really a good thing to do. That's kind of a no-no anymore.
Right.
That's
but, you know, we know through the years that when we had, like I said, an elected official, and usually, like I said, a daughter or a wife or a mm-hmm. cousin or something was in the office with them. But we don't do. We, of course, we've gotten to the point where I guess really we just don't trust everybody anymore. Too. The state doesn't trust people anymore.
Yeah, and there's so many requirements now. I mean, that you have to go through with. They've come up with trainings and stuff that they have to go and attend and get their certification and stuff like that. Administrative assistants. CTAS puts on all kinds of training sessions and stuff for elected officials, as myself and all the others. I know the sheriff is constantly going to conferences and stuff, getting updates for his personnel and everything. And we just recently got through, and I'm going to try to get another one. Lamb, Lord be my helper, going to get another training session set up with the Department of Homeland Security on cyber threats and stuff. We did one here back in April, and they came up and we tried to get the most of all the department heads' offices to come in, and a majority of them did, but we still had some out there that weren't able to come. And so he told me he'd come back up anytime and give another one. So hopefully by the end of this year, I'm going to be able to get one of those set back up. And that's a recommendation that from the comptroller's office, that they're really pushing that.
Right.
All the counties try to get as much training on that, because I'm telling you, every time you turn around, it's stuff. And I know you get it. Everybody out there gets it and everything. And if you get an email or something and it don't look legit to you, delete it.
Yeah, don't mess
don't
with it.
Don't open it. Just delete it out and everything.
Well, we're going to get back in a minute and talk about county business.
Okay.
Just
all
a second. Right now, we'll take another break. Before we do, we have four birthdays today that we can read off. Miss Karen Short celebrating a birthday, and one of my former students, I'm sure some of her family is listening here, and that is Miss Joanne Strong Mays. And I'd like to wish her a happy birthday. Miss Becca Donaldson, a birthday, and also Wendell and Carolyn Collins celebrating a wedding anniversary during this period of time. So we'll be giving away one of our wonderful, tremendous birthday prizes here before the show's out today. And with that, we'll take a little short break, and we're going to come back and talk about upcoming things for the county court here and some of the other things that Mayor Reagan wants to talk about. We'll be right back.
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Identity theft is the fastest-growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why making Bank & Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank & Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Quarterly reports. Welcome back, everyone. Mayor Reagan, let's talk about the county court business now. I know you've got some things that you want to talk to people about there. Got a piece of paper in your hand right now and going to another one.
Well, we did. We had our county commission meeting on May the 1st, and we had a total of about 9 resolutions that the commissioners looked at and voted on. But we also, at the beginning of every meeting, of course, we have a roll call, and we have our benediction and our pledge to our flag. And then we have any notaries, and we did. We had one notary was Claudia A. Bartholomew, and that's Ann. Everybody knows Ann. Probably don't know her by Claudia, but I mean that's Ann. Works over here at the bank.
Named after Grandpa.
There you go. That's probably right. That's probably true. And then your motions to approve your county commission minutes and your motions to approve your county planning committee minutes. And then one that we do with the trustee, with Charlie, he gives a quarterly trustee report every quarter. And I know I've mentioned that before, but I wanted to kind of, if I can, just kind of skim over it just a little bit, let the people know exactly what he's giving when he gives his quarterly report. And what that does, he gives that to all the commissioners. It shows them that where their balance is at up to this point. In other words, how much money you got, you know, how much has been spent, how much you got and everything. And it breaks it down into your county general fund, capital improvements, library, sanitation, drug fund, American Rescue Plan money that we've got a special account set up now for that. Your highway department's in there. Your general purpose school fund is in there. And through the school department, they have what they call federal projects and stuff. So they have money in there that, you know, they get grant funding and BEP funding and all that. Their food service, cafeteria fund. We have our debt service and all that. But I'll hit on just a few of these right here. But these are public knowledge. Anytime anybody wants, and the clerk will put this into the minutes, and she'll have. And just like from January 2023 to March 2023, that's that period of that quarter that this is that's
right.
Where we're at. And at that particular time for the general fund, we had a budget. We had an ending balance of $4,582,235.71 at that particular time. And when he did this report, now it may be up a little, it may be down a little, you know, now since, you know, we started paying bills and stuff like that. But that was right after the ending of the property taxes, you know.
Right.
February the 28th is the cutoff deadline, you know, for that and everything. So that shows that capital improvement is we've always got some money in there for different things. If we have, matter of fact, that kind of goes back a little bit back to our jail project, because we had some money from the governor support grant money that we got about 3 years ago, and we put money in that to be paying our architect and engineering group whenever they do things. Instead of having to pull that out of our fund balance, we got it in that, and plus it helps us on our overall loan that we get from USDA. If we got that money in there, that we can go ahead and we can pay some of these payments and everything. We're not having to finance that for 40 years. It's kind of like you're buying a ceiling fan for your home, and you're going to finance that thing for 15, 20 years. You know, if you got $100 to buy that ceiling fan, you're better off go ahead and buy that ceiling fan and everything. So we got, and that's what that is. And then two, in the library fund, library has a fund, and their balance was $145,377. It fluctuates up and down.
Right.
They get grants in and out and everything. And then we had our sanitation department. Our solid waste department had a fund balance in that quarter of $1,240,000. And that also fluctuates somewhat when they get tipping fees in and stuff. But we, you know, and they've got some grant funding that's been factored into that. And a drug fund, it's got a fund to itself, and all that gets administered through the sheriff department and everything.
Right.
Brandon has his own things that he can only spend that money on, whether it be a vehicle or whatever it may be, but it's got to have it's got to be spent on things that are directed toward drug prevention and everything. So he had a balance of $130,510 in that. And then our highway department, we always, Jason has got his own funding. He gets funded from our gas tax, and he gets some funding also from state aid and stuff like that and everything. But Jason don't collect anything from the property tax.
Right.
He gets his money strictly from gas, mineral tax, and stuff like that. So he had a balance of $1,935,953 is what his balance was at the end of the quarter. Now, the general purpose school fund is one that, you know, they have, and Thomas, you're related to this a lot and everything, that they have a lot of funding that comes through federal, state, grant funding, that BEP funding and all that they get, you know, keeps funneling into them in order to operate and keep the school system going. So they had a fund balance at the end in that quarter, a little over $9 million. So, and then they have their federal projects. They had a $424,000 budget for doing federal projects. I know they've been doing some work out there through some of the money that they've been getting through the ARP and stuff, and other improvements on bathrooms and stuff. It's been much needed, and they're getting some money before they're able to do that. Food service is another one that, you know, that they have. It's a cafeteria fund, and they had a fund balance at the end of that quarter. Looks like a little over half, right at $500,000, $441,600.
Okay, now can I ask you something on that right there?
Sure.
With the foods program, I believe at the end of the school year, they're supposed to have zero balance.
Yeah, they wind it down, and that's the reason why it's looking like it's coming on down there and everything. So by the end of the end
because
of the
school year, can't be any profit made off of the cafeteria.
No, and they'll start with their new budget coming in. They'll start, you know, they're all over again. And then, and of course, within that, they pay their own salaries and
right.
stuff with all your lunch ladies and all that,
and
all those folks, along with the food and any kind of utensils and stuff that they had to have. And that debt service, we had and this is a county debt service that we have, and this was one of the things that we talked about, our jail project, and I don't know if we're going to have enough time to even get into that today or not, but we're that we are overage. It's looking like that we are going to be over what we anticipated it to be about three years ago, I guess, when we got our loan from USDA, 7.5 and 7.6. With the USDA at 3.5% interest, it's looking now like it's going to come in about 10.3, something like that. So we're going to have some overage there, about roughly close to $2.5 million or so, more than that. So anyway, this debt service money that we've got, I'm hoping that we're going to be able to continue to manage that by using the debt service money to offset that overage and not have to go back and borrow more money through USDA. That being said, I'm not for sure. I don't know yet. That's just what we're looking at and everything. So hopefully that we can make that work. And if not, USDA will loan us more money on it. There's no doubt about that and everything. But it'll be a separate loan, and that's not what I'm wanting to do.
Right, because that interest rate.
The interest rate will be different and all that. So at right now, and this was back, like I said, from January to March, and we had in our debt service we had $2,665,000, so we had a little over $2,600,000 in our debt service at that time. We've got now up to date, because I looked at it the other day, because I'm keeping a watch on that to see how it's growing. We got a little over 2.7 now, so we're building it on up, and a lot of that is from the wheel tax increase, that we increased the $25 wheel tax up to $50, which made it $75 with that. But the $25, as it's always been, that continues to go into the general fund, where it helps to operate a lot of different things. The $50, $28 of that is going strictly into this debt service. That's where it's building it up right now. And the $22 is going into... It goes into the general fund, but it's earmarked. It can only be spent for the increase in operational costs of the new jail. And the clerk gives us an update on that. She's been real good about giving us updates on that every month to tell the commissioners how much that has generated and everything. So, and that pretty much goes over that. And I just wanted to share that with everybody. That's what the quarterly report from the trustee. So at any given time, at least every 3 months, the trustee comes in there and he hands over his quarterly report to the county commission. So they all have the access to see how the money has been spent, how much money you got, how much money you know that has been spent up to that point and everything. So.
Okay, what that's telling you is that report is telling you that Clay County government is pretty much physically sound right now.
We are. I mean, as far as the debt service, the county general, we've got debt, okay, for
right.
The school system. School system is taking care of their own debt because they've got a debt service too. So they're paying, you know, they've got their set up and they're paying their payments out through that and everything. But it is county debt regardless, you know,
right.
Because if something happened to the school system, couldn't meet the debt, it falls back to the county. And we've got to meet our debt. You've heard them, you know, we can't default on our debt and everything. So, I mean, even though Washington is having all kinds
only
of...
the federal government
yeah,
can do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. But they won't let us do that and everything. So, but as far as the $2 million, over $2.5 million in our debt service, we don't have no debt right now. Now, when we do the jail, we're creating a debt.
Right.
And so then we'll be set up to be paying in the neighborhood of anywhere from $360,000 to almost $400,000 a year. Will be going toward the payment of that new jail. And that's set up over a 40-year period. And so, it's through USDA, and if we're blessed when that yearly payment, annual payment rolls around, and if we're able to have another $100,000 or $50,000 or whatever it may be, we can pay that strictly on the principal of it and not the interest. After we pay that payment, that first payment that we pay, the interest comes off of that. So anything we put on there extra draws that principal down. And that was one of the reasons why the county commission was, we were blessed that we were able to pay off that courtroom as quickly as they did. They paid that off in about 7 years when we built the new courtroom on down there. So the county don't owe for that, and that's done, been paid for and everything. So we were able to double up on it. Which the payments wasn't nothing like as much as what they will be on the jail,
right.
But still, it's the same principle and everything we can use for this as well.
Well, you know, that's something, when you do a home mortgage, and a lot of folks would go in and, well, I'd like to make two payments this month. No, you don't make two payments. You want to make that payment
yes.
And apply to
your principal,
and yes. Pull it down.
Yes.
And that's one of the things that, you know, most smart borrowers try to work out, you know.
Yeah, and USDA is real good to work with, and they, a lot of other loan institutions and stuff won't allow you to do that without penalizing you a little bit
right.
And everything. So the USDA don't do that and everything, so they allow us to do that, and they will let us set it up a longer period of time. Than a lot of other places. Most places, the limit is 25 years. USDA will let us set it up, you know, like for 40 years. And
okay.
That spreads it out there to where we have time to, you know, to be able to make the payment and hopefully live too.
Okay, let's do one more little short bunch of the commercials, come back, and we're going to work in whatever we need to here in about the last 10
okay.
minutes or so.
Okay.
We'll be right back. And, you know...
Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling. Lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company,
1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
We're back. Okay, Dale, we've got a few minutes here. Look like we got about 7 minutes. See what you can get in here in 7 minutes.
Okay, I would like to go over our architect and engineering group was up to see the commissioners on the planning, which was the week before we had our county commission minutes our meeting. I think it was April the 24th whenever she was up, and to go over and give everybody an update of where exactly we're at on the jail project at this time, which we've been working with the USDA, and some things that they were concerned about was the overage that we talked about, you know, and how we were going to try our best to manage that. So we did come up with a schedule, and I'd say that we're getting closer now because we got a proposed schedule that can be subject to be changed, but it's proposed July the 10th. The project will be put out to bid, and then July the 26th, it's going to be, we'll meet with our architect and group and have a pre-bid meeting. And August the 9th is whenever the bids that we receive will be open publicly, and because there's, and the reason why there's times in this thing, it has to be bid out, it has to have
right.
So many days
right.
To go out to be bid, and and you have to give your contractors that give them time to go over everything. September the 11th will be when the county commission will meet to approve the contractor. Hopefully we'll get some contractors that will bid on this thing, and hopefully, you know, it'll come within our projected budget that we're hoping that we'll be able to do and to meet. And October the 2nd, will be a notice that will be given to the contractor, whoever receives the bid, the contract, for construction to start. So, and then they've got 18 months of construction to complete the project. So, you're
so that, that date's the date we get the golden shovel out and turn the first shovel full of soil?
I'd say so, yeah. We'll get the sheriff, and I know he'll be tickled to death and everything because they do a great job. And like I said many, many times, you know, the staff down there does a great job with, you know, what they've got to work with and everything. So I know that they're looking at it. So we've got a projected cost, and this is just projections because we don't know. We ain't got a crystal ball. We don't know how this thing's going to go. The building itself, we're projecting to cost about $9,836,995. You factor in a soft cost. There's always soft costs. You have to put in there contingencies and stuff. Some of those uh-ohs that happen sometimes, you know, and hopefully they won't. We won't have many of those, but we factored in there a little over $500,000, $540,000 on that. So a total cost that we've got projected of the $10,377,109. And hopefully we'll be close to that and everything. And if we are, we can continue to get this jail project that we've been talking about ever since I've been in office, and really been talking seriously about it for the last 5 years. And getting everything going, it's just took a. And I know everybody out there, you know, is wondering what in the world's been going on. And I have that feeling myself sometimes. But there has been things progressing, and it's a lot of times it's moving at a turtle pace. But we got hit with a lot of different things. You know, the pandemic hit us,
right.
That really put everything back. Pumped the, as the old saying is, USDA and everyone had to pump the brakes on a lot of things. So. Hopefully, Lord be our helper and everything, we'll be able to get that project. And we're scheduled for, if everything goes well, the occupancy of the new jail will be in around January of 2025.
Okay, so everything now, it is on black and white paper now, and you
yeah.
have something that you can, we can kind of let folks know about that.
We had to meet also with this being said, and I know, Thomas, we're running out of time here, but we got to do interim financing, and we met with a group that county commissioners met with them the other night, and with the Tennessee Municipal Loan Pool is probably going to be the one. And I don't know, the commissioners has not, you know, voted on it yet, but they give a consensus that they're probably the one that's going to, we're going to go with to oversee the interim financing part of it. In other words, we've got to have somebody out there that takes care of the bonds, the
right.
attorneys, and all that, and working with all the different banks and stuff, because they'll go out and they'll try to reach out to all the different bank institutions, and hopefully I think our local banks is be a part of that as well, to where that they can get us the best interest rate to do this construction. It's kind of like a home construction
right.
loan. And once that happens, USDA will pay them off. And then once that happens, then a year from the time that we take possession of the when the project's over, a year from that time will be the first debt payment that the county will have to pay back to the federal government on their loan. So we're looking at, you know, if we get in it in 2025, January, let's just say January 2025, our first debt payment will come due January of 2026.
Okay, and you know that we're lucky. Very lucky in the fact, you know, with the interest rate locked in before this inflationary
yeah.
period that's hit us now. I mean, the cost of that jail probably more than likely would have been at least another 25% on what we're looking at right now, just on the interest increase.
And that's why I'm hoping that, you know, these figures that I've reported today that our architect and engineering group have come up with and everything will stay pretty close to the same, so that we can use our debt service to offset some of that overage and everything, and we won't have to borrow more money from USDA. Because if we do, it'd be good if we could do it and keep that same interest rate, but that they won't do that. You have to start a whole new debt.
Right.
Right. And so that interest rate right now is not at 3.5.
I think we've about killed another great day. I hope the folks really enjoyed the first hike we did today, and, you know, explain some of the things. You know, there's always rumors floating
sure.
around, this is going on, that's going on.
Well,
and one of the big ones has always been, you know, well, what are they doing with all that wheel tax money for the jailhouse?
And I know that, and I understand that, because I used to be on the outside looking in, too, and I understand that. But please, if you have any questions or anything, for any of the department heads or whatever, I know they're just like I am. Call us or come to the meetings, and we'll be more than happy to try to. We may not be able to tell you what you would like to hear, but I guarantee you we'll do our very best to be transparent with everybody.
And folks, don't just be someone that comes to the county court to question something or to something negative. If you like what's going on in the county court, come down there and support.
Yeah.
Not just try to recreate something.
Those county commissioners are your voice.
Yes.
And you've elected them.
And they are the folks that run the county.
Exactly.
They're your boss,
yes,
aren't they?
Absolutely. I'm just an administrator, and they're the ones that holds the purse strings, and they I feel like they've done an outstanding job, and we've got a good commission, and I really enjoyed working with them and everything. And before you cut my mic off, I want to take this opportunity to wish all the mothers out there. I know Mother's Day is coming
yes,
up.
Yes, coming up this weekend.
This weekend and everything. So, hey, the mothers are the ones that rock the cradle.
We probably wouldn't be here without them.
Absolutely. They rock the cradle and rule the world. So God bless you all. I appreciate it.
And our winner today of the prize are Wendell and Carolyn Collins.
All right.
Celebrate their anniversary. So come over by the chamber and pick up your envelope. And with that,
Carolyn, you're a good woman, honey. I'll tell you that.
With that, we'll get the doors all shut down here and get everything put back where it belongs. And until the next week, may the good Lord bless and keep you. And hope we'll meet you here again here on WVFB-FM 101.5. Be sure to tune in at 6 o'clock tonight and tell your neighbors we had a good show, and to tune in and listen to us again. And with that, good day, Clay County.